The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want to battle, it's either that you will or
you
won't.
You know, you're not a bad-looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face. Ah!
No, I thought you said that you were all right, Spider.
Hey, man!
More Stories Podcast with my man. You know what? Randy Jackson, I feel like I've known you and hung around you like my entire life, but we probably met once.
Well, three or four times. Jay, what's going down, man?
There's a familiarity with you. What's going down to its very last compound? See how it sounds a little unrational. A lot of MCs like to use the word dramatical, fresh for 88.
Yo,
88 characters.
Yo.
Put that down. You suckers.
I love that, man. Energizing, specializing in love.
Yes. You get it. That's why you're the man. Randy Jackson's new podcast, Sessions, on Podcast One. I got the Podcast One app on my phone. I could prove it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they believe me. I like Art of Charm. I like your podcast a lot. I just hit subscribe while you and Norm Pattis were bumping gums up there. Look, Podcast One. Get the Podcast One app. I guess this will count as an ad, I suppose.
Yeah, this is a good ad.
Categories: arts, business, comedy, education, games and hobbies, government, organizations, health, kids, family, music, news and politics, religion, spirituality, science, medicine, society, woo! Culture, local, twin TV, film, technology. No matter what your interest, there's several podcasts to keep you afloat. PodcastOne.com, Podcast One app. So
everything for everybody, Jay.
It really is true.
It's true.
Randy,
you got you and I?
You and I.
Oh, I like this. Come on, man. Sing. This is like an audition, man, on your
podcast. No, it ain't. I'll audition for anything, too.
Listen, you got to do everybody a favor, or flavor, as I would say. Listen, I heard you doing Tony Bennett a minute ago, and it was damn spot on. Come on, Jay.
You know, we opened the NFL season overseas. It was a foggy day in London town. The Jaguars got beat down. Viewed the morning with much alarm. You would know more than anybody probably in Los Angeles in this town, the pride of Baton Rouge.
Dude, come on. That's my home city, dude.
I was just
home
there.
Slice of my home city. What were you doing in BR, dude?
I watched Auburn at LSU, and that woo! Randy Jackson. People doubted me on Twitter. That was woo! My actual first ever, at 47 years old, my first ever college football game.
What? Why? Where you been?
New Jersey. What am I, go see Rutgers? Go see William Patterson College?
Wait a minute. What part of New Jersey were you born in? Asbury Park? What's going on?
Close. Verona, which is by Giant Stadium, Essex County.
Yeah.
Right by Whitney, East Orange. Right there. My parents' first
East
apartment
Orange.
Was in East Orange. The blackest city in the United States.
Dude, East Orange is gully.
That's what's up. And, or as they say there, Starnge.
It's Orange.
Starnge. So, yeah, Jersey. But you, more than anybody in Los Angeles, know talent, obviously. And, like, you earned your way through it, like, a session basis for, like, you work with the whitest people on earth.
Yeah, everybody.
Kenny G and Journey. That's just, like, a guy in a pickup in Brea with red hair named Duffy rocking out the open arms in Kenny G.
Kenny G and Journey. Wow. They're both really talented, though.
They are incredibly talented. Yeah. And I do a whole thing in my stand-up about defending Journey, essentially. Right.
Why do you have to defend one of the greatest rock bands ever? One of the biggest hits ever.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, it's, you know, I'll go like, nice, I don't have any irony in my body. So if I'm wearing like a Hello Kitty t-shirt, because I love the fuck out of Hello Kitty, but I don't have a Hello Kitty t-shirt on. I got the flannel, the plaid, whatever. So somebody go, you know, nice Journey tour jacket, and the guy goes, I know, it's funny, right? And I go, hold on a second. Do you realize there's a tiny Filipino man right now pretending he's the lead singer of Journey?
And pretending to be Steve Perry.
And we don't care, because fuck it.
Well,
I do. We'll take it.
I do. Perry's my boy, and he's one of the greatest voices ever.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I work with him. I had the pleasure. But listen, this guy, Filipino guy, is killing the game.
When you look at yourself in the mirror, like, I'm still wrestling with this, because music producer, sessions,
well,
you're
first
a bassist,
of all,
writer.
First of all, when I look in the mirror, the first thing I think, damn, I'm hot.
You're fine, dude.
I'm just messing with you.
L.I.
I'm just messing with you. Jay, we should both be saying that when we look in the mirror. Damn, we're hot.
We do if people leave us alone.
Yeah.
It's the outside influences that grind you down.
It's some outside comments. People talking about, man, what's going on with you, man? You lost it. What's going on?
But when the outside comments live inside, it has a much, much more of a tax.
Now, this has become a men's talk. I like this men talk.
All over the place. That's what's up. Are you married? No, you're single.
I'm single now, yeah.
Now,
I was married twice. Who you dating, Jay?
Nobody.
Oh, come on. That means there's a lot of somebodies.
No.
Really?
Yeah, you know.
You taking a break?
Just watching guys warm up in the bullpen. You know, like, you know when they make the call to the bullpen, one guy starts throwing. But before the guy starts throwing, you just see guys like moving tomato plants around. They got tomato plants out there. They just kind of like, they know the call is coming.
You're auditioning right now.
I wouldn't even call it. Yeah, I mean, for lack of a better expression.
Casting.
But we were talking off the air. A guy, what Randy Jackson needs in a woman is exactly what I need in a woman. You can't be trying to make it.
No.
You have to have made it.
Yes.
Because my neighbor told me this. I'm renting this place in Malibu. My friend Carl Randall goes, so you're an accelerant. I went, wow.
Yes, wow.
I am an accelerant.
Wow, I like that.
The Citadel burns to the ground, and I am gasoline on that fire. When I go, no, this is what happened. This is what I said. Then you said this.
And this is what we're doing.
People freak out.
Yeah. I love that, though.
You're an accelerant. You're an accelerant, too, because you know what you want. You know what you're the most accomplished person maybe that's ever sat other than Norman Lear. It's like you're in second place.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. Norman Lear is definitely a god.
You kicked it all over. Like bass, playing bass, writing songs, producing albums, going to Italy, international stuff. American Idol is his own. Like, I don't know if we'll get to it. I don't really give a shit about American Idol. I want what you do at your core, what you do.
Right.
Is you play bass. That's number one is probably you're a bassist.
Yeah.
So that means you're the backbone. You're the rhythm section.
Dude,
with another guy,
I'm saying,
right?
The bass is the final frontier. That's the place right there, dude.
Right. So being that you are able to work with a Kenny G, with a Journey. And
with
then,
a Springsteen.
And Keith Richards and Aretha. Like, you have worked with everybody. And you worked with Keith on Jumpin' Jack Flash. That's right around when him and Chuck Berry almost punched each other in the eyes. Right?
Yeah.
And at the same time.
I remember. Well, Keith hired Barry's piano player, so there was a little bit of friction there, I think, you know what I mean? But listen.
To come on the Jumpin' Jack Flash?
Well, to work with the Expensive Winos.
Oh, yeah. Who was that dude?
What's his name, man?
It's Whitey Watchell on guitar.
Steve Jordan, Charlie Drayton.
On drums. He loves the snare, Steve Jordan. Jeez,
oh, yeah,
enough
yeah, yeah.
The snare.
Jordan's a legend, too. All these are legends, man.
So the piano
like
player.
Like Jay Moore. Jay Moore's a legend, y'all.
Thanks. Legendary, Tracy Morgan would say. Jay Moore's legendary.
Legendary.
Yeah, he's my biological father. Him and Antonio Cromartie made babies with me. So when you did the soundtrack, for the listener, Randy Jackson's a guest, and I'll put this on track, but it's like we're catching up, but I feel like we've been friends I guess we have. That is Randy Jackson. You know what? That's you when you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
People see you. They feel like they know you. It's like being a comic. People go, hey, Jay.
Right.
And in turn, I have no idea who that person is. But because
that
I made them
me.
Laugh, you make people feel good.
Hey, well, you know, at least I do something for them.
That's right. So what if you had to choose one endeavor to take with you? Like the Lord Almighty comes down and he or she goes, all right, producing, playing bass, writing songs, producing other people, the TV gigs, podcast sessions with Randy Jackson, a podcast one. You can only bring one because we're traveling light.
Right.
Hey, partner. What do you bring with you?
Honestly, it might sound a little corny, a little whatever, but my kids, man.
Well, they're coming. So I
mean,
professional.
My kids.
Of course.
Dude.
I love that was your answer, by the way.
Dude, that's the realness right there, man.
That is the realness.
You know what I'm saying?
I've done more self-inventory around my guy in real time. Last night, I go, Everybody, you need to calm down. He's 6 years old. And I go, you know what? Daddy needs to calm down.
Daddy needs to calm down.
I'm in an elevator, and he goes, yes. He's six.
Yes, I love that.
He says yes like an old queen. I go, really? Yes. I don't know why. And he doesn't use contractions because I can't hear can and can't or did, didn't.
Right. That's not in your vocab.
I did not. Yes.
I will not.
What professional endeavor would you bring with you?
You know, probably, God, man, I've been so fortunate and so blessed so far in my career. You know, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's like, I work with people I never thought I'd work with ever in life. I love Bruce, like Cook Food, because he's just a real good dude. A real dude, man.
You play
not that
bass
he's from
on
Jersey.
Human Touch, right? You play bass on Human Touch?
In Lucky Town, yeah. Not that just because he's from Jersey. He's just what you see is what you get. That's very rare with entertainment people, as you know, Jay. Jay and I are real. We're real too, man. But like everybody, you know, everybody ain't that real like us.
Yeah, and you're the outlier, and I think I am. If you say you're real, it's like saying you're humble. You disqualify yourself. Like, it's like right. If I'm a white guy, if I say I'm down, right?
Right.
If I say I'm down, I'm out.
Right.
Brad Stevens coaches the Celtics, right?
Right.
That's a nerdy-ass Bible salesman-looking white guy. Obviously, he's down.
He's down.
But if he goes, well, you know, I'm down.
I'm down.
He's
you're out. Out.
You're out.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So if
exactly.
you say you're real, you're out.
Yeah.
But you could say it because that's how real you are.
But in our case, though, Jay, listen, you're real, I'm real, we're real, and we know it. So, you know, you get to the point where you don't care who thinks what, whatever, whatever. You're just going to be who you're going to be. That's what makes Jay Moore, Jay Moore, and Randy Jackson, Randy Jackson.
Randy,
hello.
One word, blank equals real. Like, because mine is defeated equals real. I've been kicked in the nuts so many times. And that's what nobody ever sees that.
Right.
Nobody receives like divorce, custody, going to court every damn day. Like, no, that's with me. That's mine.
Right.
You can have all the houses. That's right. My guy. That's mine. I'm fighting for that one thing. Depression, loneliness,
right.
Being on the road, living in that liminal space. Like, what am I doing? Another plane for what?
To me, compassion and humility is real.
That's correct. I think
those that have that, those are some real ones. Those that are only about themselves, it ain't really real.
As a bass player, I thought you were going to say bass you would take with you. If only one thing, because without the
music,
bass.
Music. Because I produce, I write.
Right.
You know, I love
but
music.
But it all comes from them four strings, though.
Yeah. It started there.
You don't meet
started
Bruce.
Started from the
without,
bottom, now we're
here. Without a bass, you don't meet Bruce. You don't meet Keith.
No.
You don't meet Aretha.
No.
Aretha.
Louisiana. Aretha. Aretha.
Bruce, to me, and I want your opinion on this, I like two Bob Dylan albums and the Daniel Lanois produced albums. I love Omercy.
I worked on one of those, yeah.
Which one? Time Out of Mind and Omercy was like 88.
Time Out of
Mind. He won the Grammy for that.
Yeah.
And, but as far as Dylan goes, to me, Bruce is what everybody's been telling me Bob Dylan is. And I think Bruce, people, it's like U2 and Bruce are the two acts that people just go, oh, I can't stand that guy. They're like, you too, they're so pretentious. I'm like, well, when you remove a third of Africa's debt from the books, you've outrun your pretension.
Right.
Fuck those guys.
I think all of those guys are great. I just think that Bruce is in a whole different league. I've never in my life, a couple years ago, me and Jimmy Iovine and T.I., I sound like I'm dropping names. But
no,
T.I.
that
and Tiny,
is the place. Cause
it's, just, it's just what it was. We went to see Bruce at the sports arena here. And
when he
this is like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, he closed with Dancing in the Dark. With
exactly.
The for some reason, the words on the screen.
Exactly. And everybody in the audience, 20,000 people, on their feet for 3.5 hours. I don't know any artist in the world that can garner that kind of attention still this point in their career, 40 years later, whatever it is, 35 years later, whatever it is. 3.5 hours, bro. Nobody. I don't even know if you two can do 3.5 hours. And people are standing on their feet for 3.5 hours. And by the way, he doesn't change shirts. He doesn't change clothes. The guy's like 60 or whatever he is. He does 3.5 hours, bro, on stage, nonstop.
I got goosebumps.
Nobody I know does that. And I don't even if they did, I don't even know if people would stay there and be on their feet for 3.5 hours, bro.
Well, there's a dynamic to that, obviously, and you know this from being in the music industry as much as you can. People aren't coming in cold off the street like,
right.
What's this? I never heard of this guy. All right. An hour right. in, you're like, pretty good.
Right.
It's holy shit, my guy that speaks to me. When I was in high school, every song, every album, and as a music producer, I won't assume anything. I think Bruce Springsteen is the only artist who, from the first Mad Men, Drummers, Bombers, Indians in the Summer with a Teenage Diplomat, all the way to whatever's next, every single track has the exact same theme. There's something a little bit better than what I got, and it's just out of reach. But if I keep grinding, baby,
right.
You come with me.
Right.
Wendy, we can live with the sadness. I'll love you with all the madness in my soul.
Look at you.
I don't know when that is.
It's Jay Moore, everybody, right here.
Stolen Car off the River. The song, The River.
Right.
Independence Day.
Right.
Candy's Room.
Right.
Like, Reason to Believe. It's all, there's just, it's right out of my reach, man. And that speaks to the American spirit. So you're going because that guy hit that bell in you.
Well, the real key to me with artists and music, and Bruce embodies this, he doesn't even know how to be anybody else but this guy. What every artist that has and what really permeates the public and what people don't know, they can't explain it, that sheer honesty of heart and soul that he gives you, what you see is what you get, is what he says, is what the music does. There's no fake out. There's no pretentiousness. There's no, trap music is fashionable. Let me do that. EDM's back. Deep House is back. Let me make a record like that. These are the people that are chasing the trends. So in the words of the great Karl Lagerfeld, right?
Move my head snap up. Right, dude wears gloves all day. Right, I'm in. Yeah, his cat got an Instagram.
Fashion is fleeting. Style is forever. You're born with style. So, Bruce, what you see is what you get. It's one of the rare, real things. He's not getting together, making records with like hip hop producers. He's not making records with EDM guys, trying to chase the trend. He is purely honest of who he is, and he lives and dies by that. That's why those people respect him. That's why they show up. And really, the honesty in the music, I always say this about, you know, the radio. People will listen to a song if they really feel this is genuine. Genuine outsells every fad that there is. Because the people that are continuously chasing, bro, those are not leaders. Why would you follow a chaser?
I did a show last week called Don't Tell Comedy, Corey, or Don't Tell Stand? Don't Tell Comedy. And what they do is an email goes out that day.
Right.
And if you agree to do it, you do it. They've done it in a jewelry store. They've done it. Mine was at a garden at Venice High, 10 p.m.
I love that.
20 folding chairs.
Wow.
Mic, sound system, that's it. And I told the guy, I said, you know, when I'm on stage, and he interrupted me, he goes, my brother-in-law, her little brother, thinks you're the single greatest comedian that has ever lived. But then he started to back out, like, not that I don't think you're not. He goes, he blurted out to save himself, which he didn't have to. He goes, you're the truest. And that shit straightened my spine up, because that's what you, like, when you disqualify yourself, I know I'm the truest up there. And you as a producer are the truest. And it's got to be a high wire act to be as positive as you are in a business that loves, you know, a lion makes a way around the globe twice while the truth is lacing up its shoes.
Oh,
that's an old one. Yeah. How do you do that? How can you stay on that signal that is Bruce, that is Keith? You know, you listen to Keith, Let's Go Steady One More Time, unreleased.
Yes.
That would have been a top 20 Stones track, and Mick never would have gotten his band back.
Well, but here's the deal, right? So there's in my world, in my mind, there's three kinds of artists. There is pop stars, there is artists with commerce, which is the greatest holy grail kind, and there's just the artists. They don't care how many they sell. They'll play for 500 people just so they can get their wares out and do what they want to do musically. When you talk about an artist, nobody paints a picture and says, let me paint what's fashionable now. The world's into donuts. It's a donut craze. Let me just paint donuts. Oh, the world's into burgers. There's like 90 million burger joints. Let me just do that.
My new burger album.
Right. Let me. No real artist does that. You have to come from what's in your soul, what you live, what you see. Dylan's that way too, though. I mean, you know, they're just different artists. Bruce and Dylan are different artists, both equally amazingly great. But when you look at throughout history, and the way I identify artists, the U2s, the Coldplays, the Bruces, the Beyonces, even the Kanyes, the Jay-Zs, the whatever, these are people that through the end of time, and there's many others I'm not mentioning, Fleetwood Mac, whatever you want, whomever, they will go out throughout history never having another hit song, not even needing one. People believe them, and they're going to show up at those shows because they believe who they are, and they're living vicariously through that example of realness of an artist. That's the real thing. I manage a lot of artists. I got a big management business. I manage chefs. I manage artists. I manage writer-producers, all this kind of stuff. I still do a lot of film and TV. But what I look for is that, do you have what it takes to sustain? Or are you just for right now? The pop star is just for right now. The pop star is going to fade eventually, because this is based on what's fashionable in the worlds of Karl Lagerfeld. This is not based on something born with that you're going to keep forever. Because I truly believe when you're born with something, the Princes, the Michaels, the Elvis Presleys, those ones will go out into the annals of history forever till the earth burns. The Beatles, this stuff. So those are the real artists that you notice. And there's not as many of those as you would think that until the end of time, that music will be around. That's a different level.
There's not that many of them because the truth, there's not a financial reward for the truth when it begins.
Right.
So, and the reason I was telling you the thing about the stand-up is I realized like 4 years ago, everything I write has already happened to me. So right. To write a joke is untruthful. If I tell the audience what happened to me, if they don't laugh, I don't give a shit because that happened.
Right.
You're arguing with reality.
It's real, right.
And then
it's
I just
real.
Move on to another story. So that was the only connection there. And like Bruce's thing, like you were saying, the truth, he started the way he started when we needed truth. Like if you look 75, 76, you listen to like, you know, Greetings from Asbury Park,
The Angel
Rides with Hunchback Children, like Mary Queen of Arkansas. You're like, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
It's crazy. I came for you.
Right.
I came for you. Which, how no one's covered that, I will never know. So, but you can't, as an artist, seek out, like, I'm going to be true. Like, all right, let me rephrase what you just said. Let me put back up what you just said. There's three kinds of artists. Pop, artists with commerce, which is the Holy Grail. And artists without care. I simplified it. Artists without care can become artists with commerce. Bruce.
Of course.
Dylan when he had.
That's
when
the
he
way it happens.
It. Yeah.
Because you're saying, I'm going to be me. Hopefully somebody out there is going to like what I do. Because I'm so honest, there must be other honest people that can buy into what I'm doing or listen to what I'm saying. Because truly, the public vicariously lives through you, Jay, me, other artists or whatever, because we're out there as examples. And no, maybe everyone doesn't like us or love us, but hopefully there's enough people that, you know, we can sustain and keep moving and keep things happening.
And to keep with Bruce, that gives us a reason to believe to keep going. Man standing over dead dog and how ended it.
You know a lot of songs, bro. I'm impressed.
I'm an audiophile. I would love to do sessions and just break down like music.
Dude, come on. I got to have you on.
I would love to come talk.
I got
to
have you on. Like, sessions with Randy Jackson.
Zero comedy, all music.
Dude, let's go. But I love comedy too because I remember some old albums when like half of the comedians would make half of the record musical. And then it would be because they were all trying to sing. You know, because Eddie used to try and sing and
that's
do records.
Because
right. Eddie's got a voice. He's talented. He writes songs.
When Eddie's like Party All the Time was what's up.
Party All the Time was no. But I'm saying Eddie's got talent. Every time I see him now, he's like, "Yo, man, I'm grinding. I'm in the studio working on a couple of joints." I mean, he loves music. So I think when you're honest with something. And by the way, I mean, listen, you know lyrics. You probably know more than most musicians know. I'm hearing you recite these lyrics to songs. I'm like, damn, Jay's got it going on. What's up with Jay? Jay, we need to do a hip hop record on you, man.
Oh, I'll do it. I could flow.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. I've been waiting for you my whole life, Randy Jackson.
Now on Podcast One Sports, it's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Hear incredible stories on Sound of Success, the Dick Enberg podcast.
Oh, my.
And guess who's talking America's favorite basketball team?
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time for America's Lakers podcast.
Listen on Apple Podcasts, the new Podcast One app. And where else, Jay?
PodcastOne.com.
So, Randy Jackson, talk about truth being the bell, the signal in the noise for artists. And as a producer, that's the signal in the noise you're looking for. But as a producer, you know that truth doesn't pay the dividends. Greens, bills, sticking together like water and flour to make dough. It's not really culinary art, speaking of bread, cheese, and dough. So you have to find somebody that's got the truth because your job is to make the money.
Right.
Period.
So you find somebody that's got the truth, but you also realize there's a bit of a formula with a hit song. The real formula really is people talking, well, what's a hit? What's a hit? What's a hit? A hit is a one listen song. You can't get it out of your head. And the main part to remember is the chorus. Don't bore us. Get to the damn chorus and make sure the chorus is memorable and hooky. So it's like candy or like sweet savory, whatever you like. You can't get it out of your head. So people ask me all the time, well, what's a hit song? Writers and producers, all friends of mine, will go like, yeah, man, but you know, I don't know, you know, there could have been a hit. The radio just played it a lot, you know, like whatever. You know, you were on your show, Westwood One, and you just pounded the thing, and then it became a hit. Well, I go like, listen, tell me about Let It Be. That's a hit. Well, what do you mean? Chorus goes, Let It Be, Let It Be, Let It Be, Let It Be. Words of wisdom, Let It Be, Let It Be. Wow. What do you think it's called, Jay? Let It Be. So when I do call out research, what do you think they're going to play? Let It Be, Let It Be, Let It Be.
All you need is love. All you need is love. If you start me up, if you start me up, if you start me up, I'll never stop. If you start me up, if you start me up.
This is the thing. So you take the art and you try and make sure there's a memorable hook. It's like selling anything. It's like we were just talking about Hello Fresh.
Yeah, Hello Fresh.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's
more
just
than
the same
food.
Thing.
But you can't, I'm asking you this. Let me rephrase this question. Can you construct, of course you can, to what level of success the artist you work with to co-construct towards a hit?
You can try. It usually is a little tougher because most artists want to just say what they want to say and do what they want to do. But as a producer now, with the producer hat on, my job always is to make you the best version of you that you can be. So I got to find out how to do that. So when you think about, I don't know, pick anybody, pick the Stones, pick whatever, pick anybody new, whatever, you know, the Mariahs, the Whitneys, the Ariana Grandes, the Weeknd. You know, there's a guy that's probably the greatest writer producer of our time of the last 25, 30 years. His name is Max Martin, Swedish guy. He has figured it out. He's got Weeknd records, Taylor Swift records. He's got Ariana Grande. He's got Katy Perry. He's got everything. This guy has figured it out. He's like what used to be Motown. He's that of today to me. He's probably had, I don't know, 30 number ones.
But what is it that he figures out? Because
he figures out, you
had a incongruous message. I'm going to get you to be the best you can be. But if, like, John Legend arrives the best he can be.
Right.
Like, there's no room for real improvement. You can just kind of guide him to different alleys.
Right. But John Legend got to where he was because he probably figured out that I need a chorus. His first big hit was Ordinary People. It was just him at the piano, but it was called Ordinary People.
His cover of Dancing in the Dark made me cry.
It was amazing.
He played on Howard Stern. I was on Coldwater Canyon going to the valley.
Right.
I pulled over. I fucking cried.
His version of God Only Knows. It just at the
Bridge Under Troubled Water. Like, he hits me in the gut. So if you're asking him to be the best, like, he's a bad example, but the best
version. No, but he's got songs with choruses. So the thing is,
the best version of, say, like, John Mayer isn't a hit.
No. Mayer's first album.
Daughters. In the presence.
Right.
In the present tense. When he's in front of you, his best version of him is not being played on WPLJ in New Jersey.
No, but you got to remember, he wanted to be Stevie Ray Vaughan. He wanted to be a blues guy. He's really that guy. Hendrix, he's really that guy at heart. I mean, Mayer's unbelievably talented, but his career started trying to have radio records, which he had. So it's the same thing can be said. You got the singer-songwriter guy that's the singer-songwriter of ever with Ed Sheeran. He's had 7, 8 number ones on pop radio. So Mayer also had radio hits. Now, what happens later in an artist's career? Usually what happens, they get the radio hits because you got to get the commerce along with the art, or else nobody's going to come out and see you play arenas or 10,000 people or 5,000 people or whatever you're trying to do. Then later on, the artist starts to become more of the artist and there's less of those hit-driven things and they can do whatever they want to do because they now have the audience that's following them. They no longer need, as I was saying about U2, Springsteen, Coldplay, any of these great artists, Dylan. The putting out the record is an announcement that the tour is going on. It's not an announcement to say, turn on Clear Channel or Kiss FM or Z100 and hear my latest song. It's a different thing, the trajectory of somebody's career. But to open the door, it always has to start with something that's going to be the iconic thing of their career.
Bodies of Wonderland.
Dancing in the Dark was a hit.
Oh, yeah. What was it, 7 number one hits on that album?
Bodies of Wonderland was a hit. No Such Thing was kind of a hit.
Your head will never hit the pillow without my hand behind it. Mayer. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? That's incredible. This
Daughters.
To me, it's like, it ain't a hit. I mean, I know it's a hit.
Right.
But there's a signal in that noise.
Right.
And I hear that lyric, like my friend Logan Lynn, I heard one lyric. I'm like, can I go to the studio with you and just maybe take a couple notes?
Right.
Like, maybe can we add less sound and just have you alone at a piano? Like,
right.
Wear your boxers for
Christ's sake.
So, like, your head will never hit the pillow without my hand behind it. Then I see him on stage with Buddy Guy, John Mayer. And I went, oh, this guy's going to get fucking stomped. And he didn't.
Well, that's who he loves. That's who he loves.
It was obvious. And then he tours with the Dead. Bob Leftsetz wrote a whole thing. Like, he's a little obsessed with Taylor Swift, John Mayer.
I love Leftsetz. So
I love. He was on the podcast. I was obsessed with his writing. And it's like the John Mayer that goes on the road with the Dead is a commerce genius. Even though that's not a quote-unquote commerce gig. Down the line, it's the all-time genius commerce
move.
Well,
the Dead never really needed hits. That's the true... But they came
artists
at a time...
Artists without care.
Well, that's the true artists of that time. When you look back at artists from the 60s and the Woodstock, it's a different... That's a whole different level. That's a rite of passage. You look at Zeppelin. You look at Hendrix. You look at Sly and the Family. Sly and the Family don't have a lot of hits.
Damn.
Plus, they were... You know, but that's the artist with commerce. But when you're the Dead and you're an anomaly, I mean, you know, you can look at the anomalies in music. You got the Dead, Adele's an anomaly, Ed Sheeran's kind of an anomaly to me.
Why is Adele and Ed, the Dead, I understand. Why Adele and Ed Sheeran and John Legend to me seem to be the tent poles that are holding this whole industry up right now.
Well, they're also sort of anomalies. They cracked through something that really wasn't about them. So... The industry wasn't about Adele singing love songs about love or whatever, singing ballads. Ballads weren't even on the radio.
Right.
But she cracked through and made it work. The other person that really made it work, carved out her own thing, was Sade. She's an anomaly too. When I say anomaly, I mean like labels out there trying wishing, and every artist is trying wishing. There won't be five or two or three Adeles. There won't be five Sades. There's never been another Police. Never been another Sade. There's not another Springsteen. There's not another Dylan. These are the iconic ones that are the beacon shining the light for their time.
So I understand now.
There's not another Coldplay. There's not another
Thank
U2.
God.
Coldplay's great.
I love Parachutes, that album. To me,
that song, perfect. Fix You, is one of the best songs ever written.
What album is that off of? I don't know.
I can't remember which album, but Fix
like Shiver
You.
And Yellow, and you know, those are great. Look at the Stars, look at the, you know,
Scientists, all of that. But Fix You. Is,
all right, I'll check it out then. Because I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl, and I went, I don't know if this is the same song, or I've been just listening to 16 different songs. It was like a certain.
Well, you could kind of say that about everyone, right? It's called a brand. So when you go and see all these artists, all the songs are sort of similar. All these songs are sort of similar because that's their soul, hopefully shining.
Somebody off the street would say that about our Springsteen show.
Of course.
I love your positivity, Randy
Jackson. No, but that's your brand.
I'm being serious.
That's your brand. What are you going to do? The great thing about the brand is when you hear it on the radio, that's the brand. You hear it and you go, oh, that's got to be Bruce. It can't be anybody else. That's the brand. Your sound, your lyric sense, everything is in that brand. So hopefully it all sounds similar.
Have you ever been entirely surprised and knocked on your ass by something that became a hit, almost like the most unlikely hit, like a B-side or something in the studio? Well, you knew it was a good song, but the fact that it's on the radio and got played.
Of course, I think it happens a lot.
Personally were involved in the studio.
No, I mean, me personally involved, yeah. I mean, but I kind of like, I usually look at the songs that the most artists hate and I go, that's probably going to be the hit.
Why do they hate? I mean, I think I know the answer, but why do they hate the song?
I think because they feel like there's a bit of selling out sometimes to have a chorus. To have a hooky chorus is not selling out. You want people to sing along. You want people to take something away. You want people to enjoy, don't you? Don't you want people to want you? I want you to want me.
I need you. Give the people what they want was the album cover.
Right,
the,
got
that was
to
the
give
Kinks.
The people.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they
Do you
they
think
want.
The artist sometimes doesn't like that song because there's a sliver of this is who I really am, and you really, really, when everything stops at night, this is who I am when I'm at home, and then I'm going to put a chorus in to try to smoke
yeah,
out Randy
because,
Jackson.
Yeah, Jay, because by the way, I see this all the time about every artist. Whether you're a comedian, whether you're an actor, actress, model, singer, rapper, whatever it is, there's the you think you are. There's the fantasy of who you think you want to be. And I only, as a producer, want who you really are. Be it now, be it later. I'm only looking for the truth. Because the only thing I can really sell is the truth. All of that fantasy shit, I can't sell that. Who you think you are, who you think you want to be, because we tell ourselves, the ego wakes us up every morning and tells ourselves a bunch of shit. That ain't true, but it we tell ourselves everything. So, but the reality, oh, because in a world that's as crazy as the world is getting more every day, man, you need the truth more than you need anything.
Yeah.
You need it more now than ever.
So when a guy walks into the studio, it's ASAP Rocky. Or, you know, your guy, you just mentioned T.I. That ain't your name.
Right.
So you're on arrival, it ain't truthful. How do you...
No, but in their world, it's the kind of alter ego. So maybe that's actually who they really are. Maybe that's how they got better to closer who they are.
Yeah.
By having a name and living free. Because part of the problem...
Nobody wants to buy a Clark Kent's album.
Right.
Even exactly. That Superman.
Exactly.
Take his glasses off. You look stupid.
Right, exactly. Part of the problem is like, how do I get to who I am and just let that go and not be ashamed or afraid of it? No fear, bro. What Those are the stars. Madonna, no fear, bro.
Yeah, wow. But can you name a song that was a hit that you just defies? And it's a song that you know is a good song.
There is a song out now.
Everything you just said.
There's a song out now that I heard when I first heard it. I didn't work on it. But when I first heard it, I thought to myself, wow. Wow, this is kind of wild, kind of crazy. But you know what? This is probably going to be a hit. That Cardi B song, Bodak Yellow. Like, it's okay in the hip-hop world to have it be topical and have it be about everything, but it's really about who she is. You know?
I didn't know it was a she. He just said it.
Cardi B, yeah.
She was trending on Twitter a couple days ago.
She's marrying Offset from the Migos, Quavo from that whole camp in ATL. She was on Love & Hip-Hop. I mean, listen, she dope. She's really mad talented. But, you know, it's the kind of songs you listen and people go like, well, how can that be a hit? Well, a rebellious lyric, definitely people are looking for that. Because,
why,
you know,
why do they say how can that be a hit? What is it about that song that rings
the
un-hit?
Lyrics are rebellious. It's talking about a stripper. It's talking about, I mean, you know, it's like kind of ratchety lyrics or whatever.
I fought the law and the...
Law won. Yeah, so right.
It's
so
Tommy
case
James,
in point.
Yeah.
So case in point. Every iteration of time has its rebellious thing.
Shot the
for
sheriff.
Those people,
yeah.
Grateful Dead was rebellious.
I mean,
go
the
to
name
some
itself.
Dude, I'm saying
greatest
the
logo
Stones.
Of all time.
I mean, everything was rebellious, right? All of Woodstock was about rebellion.
Yeah.
You know. So every time has their own rebellious thing. So right now, hip hop is that rebellious thing. Because you see young kids singing these lyrics at the top of their lungs and like 12, 13, they know every word. And you're like, okay. All right, cool.
Chuck D said he wanted hip-hop. He saw hip-hop as being the black CNN.
Mm.
And he was close.
Well, Chuck was a legend.
Of the greatest songwriters of all time. My friend Paul Toogood does this thing out in England about a series about singer-songwriters, and Chuck D's in his first episode with Barry Gibb.
Yeah. Barry
and,
Gibb,
like,
another
Ricky
great
Lee Jones. Like, I'm like, Chuck D, like, you're a hip dude.
Yeah, Chuck D's dope.
It seems like black Instagram has become the black CNN.
Like, yeah.
I didn't know you could leave messages on Instagram.
How many followers you got, Jay?
Not many. Mm. Like 28,000. Like, I tap.
Why, you don't love it? I thought you were doing those nudes.
I'll do nudes. I lobby for nudes when I do a movie.
Jay and Randy are going to go on Instagram bottomless.
Yeah.
Let's keep our tops on, bro.
Yeah. But that's a bad look. Top, no bottom. A terrible look on a dude. But I'm telling you, like, I've lobbied for full frontal every movie I've ever done. They're like, well, it's a movie about a parakeet. I don't know what you're doing here. But yeah, hip hop being the black. So I don't know that Instagram, you leave that many messages, and more shots are fired, figuratively, on Instagram. And there is such an absolute, you know, word on the street is word on the street, and that's
right.
The print. Like, word on the street is word on the street.
Word on the street is word.
I try to tell my friends that, like, when you went to school one day and they go, "Hey, Matt Venezia is looking for you." Guess what? That motherfucker was looking for you, and everybody knew it. Like, word on the street is word.
Yeah.
Capital W on the street.
Yeah.
More reliable than a printing press.
I love that.
Instagram, guys are taking shots back and forth. It's almost like we don't even know that shit exists. Like, you know, a square is like me. Like, I know it exists because I study human behavior.
Right.
But like you said, Chuck D, that made me think of it. And hip-hop has always been rebellion. And then the hits, is it, hip hop has always been about rebellion, and music is the music that succeeds, the music that takes music and brings it up, like Nirvana in 91 or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel stupid and contagious.
Right.
I do too.
Right.
Who the fuck are these guys?
Right.
I don't know what the hell they're saying the rest of the tune, but that hit me.
But that's real and honest.
Jane's
once again.
88. I'm like, this is so different from Poison and Cinderella.
Real.
There's a malevolence.
Real and honest and giving you a whole different flavor. And it's rebellious because there's no fear. As a comic, comics are saying what they want to say with no fear. Like, I'm just going to tell you what I feel, the Lenny Bruces, the, you know,
Carlin,
the Eddie Murphys, the Carlins, the, all of
Pryor.
Those, you know, Pryor, all those. I'm just going to call it what it is. I don't care who likes it or not. That fear is artistry, because an artist never does something and thinks about who's going to like this. No. Do you, first of all, do you like it? Because I think the public responds to that first. If you
That's
like
why I'm
it,
saying it.
Right. If you like it.
I know it.
If you like it.
Right.
I'm down with you. I didn't see it that way, but I'm going to look at it like that again because, yo, he's real. This might be some shit here.
I whittled away at you and you didn't realize it. And I wanted to get what makes an artist without care. The root of the root, as E. Cummings wrote, the root of the root, the bud of the bud. I swear by all flowers.
Right.
It was truth, right?
Truth.
But the truth comes from being fearless.
Of course, bro. You're
so
not, and also.
Adele is riddled with fear, we know as a fact. But you got to be fearless to hand that shit in and let go.
You got to be fearless to talk about your relationship like that in a time that nobody's listened to love songs. Hip hop is pop. Like I don't even.
What a statement.
Her thing doesn't even fit. Her music didn't even fit in the radio universe.
You are right.
Hit, she was first signed by an indie label, XL, part of the Beggar's Banquet labels, some of my favorite labels in the world. That guy's done an amazing job, Martin. But I'm saying, to go into the wind carrying a cross like she did and winning, yo, I give her mad props, dude.
To be an artist without care.
Yeah, rebel with a cause.
You must be fearless.
Yeah. Got to be fearless, bro.
That doesn't mean like her stage fright. That doesn't mean this guy's panic attacks. That doesn't mean this guy don't
Do
like the
Do you
flush.
Think that Bruce Springsteen ever said, everybody's wearing those beaded Letterman jackets, what's-his-face jackets like Michael Jackson. You think I should put on one of those?
No, and Mike never said
exactly.
It either. Mike was like Sgt. Pepper's.
Exactly. I'm going to do me, and hopefully somebody loves what I do.
I get asked this question more frequently than you would think. Like, when you have an idea, how often do you go out and try it out at other clubs before you take it to the club? I go, well, first of all, they're all the club.
Right. It's only the club.
There's only the club. Like, you know, it's not like I get to work in double-A baseball.
Right.
And then like, all right, the Dodgers will see you, you're batting eighth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized, never.
Because, exactly.
And this
exactly.
is what I've told interns on the radio show I used to do.
Right.
If you think it's funny, I want to know about it because it's funny.
Right.
Because you
funny.
Thought it and you went to tell me, you know, it's not my place.
Right.
I want to know what that is.
Right.
So if you think of it, like I tell people, if you go, oh, tell them, you say, your wife goes, tell them what happened at Gelson's today when that guy went crazy. You just tell the story. You don't go to other parties and try to have a fucking story down the street and get it ready for that party.
Because that would be, now that part, if you do that, that's a little bit like you're really not a star. So here's the thing. Stars, which Jay Moore is, stars are fearless. When Bowie was doing his thing, do you think he cared about what people said? Mick Jagger, do you think he actually really cared? Springsteen, do you think he actually really cares? He's an artist living his thing. Madonna, do you think that she really cared about all of this stuff that much? She was doing what she wanted to do. So when you think about those stars, Dylan, do you think he thought, maybe I should make a hip-hop record? That's what's in now. No, see, stars have a whole different thing going on. Their motor is different. And stars, by the way, Jay, are born. That's that Karl Lagerfeld. Style is born. You're born with style.
Fashion's fleeting. Style.
Style you're born with is forever because you're born with that sense of thing. You know, I'm sure they call Elvis everything under the sun when he was doing that music.
Couldn't even play it on the radio. It was black.
It was
music.
Ruse. It was black bass. They call it like, you know, race music.
They called it N music.
Right. So you think that stopped him?
It's all he knew how to do.
Not only that, that's all I loved.
Hound dog.
This is what I love, and this is what I know how to do. I don't care. This is what I'm doing. Those are the leaders. The leaders are not a bunch of people who go, oh, no, I shouldn't do that. I'm scared of that.
Mm. You see this look on my face?
Yeah, I shouldn't wear yellow. Mm, yellow's not in.
I hosted The View once. I had a yellow shirt. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to go with the. I took a red eye. I had a bright yellow, dress shirt. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to lose the jacket. Man, no yellow.
No yellow.
Nope. Not for a kid.
I mean,
I look
like
Woodstock.
It's like, Charlie Brown.
But you see the look on my face of almost consternation because I realize as you speak, like, and I'm not shining your ass. I'm not washing your balls. It's almost like American Idol takes people away from the bud of the bud of you because there's the persona. You were real on the show.
Right.
But they don't, like when I had Bootsy Collins on, I didn't get the Parliament Funkadelic until the last 6 minutes because I want to know about the fucking JBs.
Dude, the JBs. Can you imagine?
No.
Bootsy, a true dude.
My God. We'll get to P-Funk down the line because that's inconsequential. You could do whatever you want.
Right.
What fascinates me is George Clinton don't play an instrument and you guys follow him like a cult leader. He's wearing a Lion King sheet as clothing. And you're like, yeah, what do we do?
But he's a star. He's a leader.
Absolutely.
Because he's saying, look, I'm fearless. We're going into the war. Because it's a competition. I mean, you know, what we're doing ain't fashionable. But we're going in. That's why T.I. at the Springsteen show was so dope. Jimmy invited him. That's why Jimmy at the Foresight, Jimmy Iovine's a visionary. He's my friend, but he's a visionary. Because like, yo, T.I., I need you to see this. This guy's 60-some years old. He does 3.5 hours. You take an average artist today, they don't even have songs enough to fill
hour,
let alone 3.5 hours and be on stage and not change wardrobes 12 times and make it some fashion show. No, raw music entertainment. Old-fashioned.
Artists don't care, you said, over and over. And the reason I had this scrunched up look on my face the whole time is I cared so much and far too much until 4 years ago, when my marriage really was taking on water.
Right.
And I realized I'm in a submarine and I ain't getting out from under the ice caps. This is it.
Right.
Then I was free.
Right.
Because the unthinkables happened and I did everything I could to salvage what I could salvage. And it takes two people to tango.
And also to go a little deeper on that psychologically, once again, where we think we are or where we think we should be or what we think is good for us may not actually be good for us.
Right.
So you got to look at all sides of it, right, and go like, well, hang on a minute here. I'm in this relationship. Is this a good relationship for me? I think it is. I think this is what I need.
People notice a difference in me. They like this version of me.
Well, because what happens, there's been a million songs about love. Everybody should listen to all of them again. Love is blind. A fool in love. Is this the right love for you? Is anybody, you know, because love is really that ride or die. Somebody that's down for Jay that took the vows that until death do us part vows. Yo, what? Are we just saying these vows and not listening to them and we're married or like, so the whole marriage paradigm is a whole
and I dig
thing.
Marriage, like I'm a big fan of marriage. I'm not gonna shit on
me
it.
Too I believe
and like to death do us part, that's why I was able to leave, because I was left a while ago,
right?
And that was actually like, I can't believe you're leaving. I'm like, you left a long, like you right. died
right
death
a long
there's
time
been
ago.
A death here,
right?
And there has to be a death to get married. Like,
right.
Your baggage from DNA up until that day has to go someplace.
Well, that's the thing, right?
You can't fit both you in that zim-zum, that circle, as Rob Bell writes about.
That's the thing. You know, you look at, the whole God complex of things. You look at things thinking that you know what's going to happen or what it is, but it might be where that took you after that. Maybe that was just a passage through.
George Carlin said, nobody knows what's next, but we all do it.
Yeah, it's hard to know what's like meant to happen next. You just got to kind of ride the ride.
See, this is the podcast now.
No. That's what I'm saying.
You
this will be
back.
Our part two. I'll come back.
I'll meet you wherever you want to meet. For real.
I'll come back. You know what we'll do?
Yeah.
We'll have a bunch of men on talking about relationships.
I don't want to yield my time to the senator from Missouri. I want old Jay Moore all the time. Listen, friends, True Car is how I got my truck. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles are available. My Range Rover had about 66 miles on it, and that took, believe me, it ain't like used cars, you know it. TrueCar users on average save over $3,000 off MSRP. TrueCar, TrueCar, use TrueCar. You can easily find the car you want. I put my name on that. That's what's up. With TrueCar, you connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. TrueCar users, as I say, like myself, save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers waiting for you. TrueCar, save time, save money, never overpay. TrueCar. Randy, I'm going to do the shuffle on my iPhone, and you give me one sentence about that tune. Randy Jackson, it's Sessions.
That's Sessions, the, right
podcast,
here,
and I'll
live.
I haven't listened to it yet, and I'm so excited because you are just real.
No, and, man. Come on, but Jay, me and you, man. You're real, too.
Done deal. Done deal.
Done.
Shuffle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. His heads will roll.
Good band.
What makes them good? No bassist. That's got to be a sore spot with you.
No, no, it's not. It's not because, like, I'm, you know, because I'm a musician. So
fuck the doors, man.
I love everything. You ain't got to have bass. You ain't got to have, you know, you do you. Because remember, I'm about real. So, but that girl, that singer.
Yeah, Karen
is
O.
The bomb.
Yeah.
That girl is dope. She is fearless. She's a star.
Sounds like 1982.
Yeah.
Or like the soundtrack to Drive.
It sounded a little like Betty Davis Oz right there, but
yes, yeah. It did. Ghostface,
love Ghost, love. I mean, what a legendary outfit he came from.
Yeah, if you can pick any two members, you can only pick two members. Oh, The Clock was the name of the song.
Right,
Ghostface. You can only pick two members of Wu-Tang Clan. The other guys, they work at Home Depot. I don't know what happens.
No, I love those guys too.
But you can only pick two, but we know you love every guy equally.
No, but I just saw Method, but I would pick ODB and Ghostface.
I got Ghostface, no doubt.
ODB,
I'm a little RZA because he's the RZA Rector.
I love RZA too.
No RZA, no Woo.
Right, exactly. Well, that's true. Enter the Woo, everybody.
Jack of Spades, Boogie Down Productions. Just random shuffle. Jack.
Look at you. Love.
Why?
Just because, once again, fearless. This is what I do, who I am. Somebody's going to like it. You know what I mean?
Random shuffle. Jizza. Living in the world today.
Dude, look at you. What are you shuffling on? What playlist?
I swear to God, I'm pressing a button. Tougher Than the Rest, Tunnel of Love, Springsteen. You work on the album prior. I don't want you to think I'm like doing these on purpose. Long Going Far Away, James Taylor.
Wow. Another iconic guy. The premier singer-songwriter.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Doesn't care. I do what I do. This is what I do. I'm not going to change it. If everybody's wearing red, I'm not going to wear red. I mean, you know.
I never would have thought of this unless this came up on this shuffle. And it's the number one to me. Important song that nobody knows. Peter Gabriel, Digging in the Dirt. Off
well,
the album.
Another iconic guy, fearless, doing music. It may not be fashionable. I'm going to make video statements. I'm just going to go completely art on them.
Digging in the dirt to find the places I got hurt. Something in me, dark and sticky all the time.
Look at you,
strong.
Look at you. That's Jay Moore, everybody, reciting these lyrics.
Feel it in my toes.
We got to do that hip-hop comedy record.
Feel it in my sex. That's the place it goes.
RZA, we're coming for you, man. RZA and Jay Moore.
RZA Rector. I saw RZA at Venice Beach. So that's everybody's real and fearless is what I'm getting from you. And I'm, thank God, no garbage. Watch, the next one I was digging in the dirt, man.
Digging in the Dirt, is that's incredible.
Nebraska, Springsteen, the song
oh,
Nebraska.
Well, you good.
You
good.
Never Give Me Your Money.
You good. Oh, the Beatles.
Best bass I've ever heard in my life. Look and the change you. On You Never Give Me Your Money.
Look at you.
All right. I'm not showing off. I just thought it'd be a fun exercise, but I should have let you know I was playing it. Sessions with Randy Jackson is the podcast, but we can, fucking Craig Mack. Let me get down. Let me get on Sessions. We're gonna get
Dude,
down.
You know all these songs. I gotta down. Have you on, and we're gonna go through the music annals, man.
We're gonna get down, bro.
We're gonna get down, and this time down won't be out.
No, Sly and Family Stone. I said this to my buddy Pete Turner. Probably he has a podcast that you should actually do called the Break It Down Show.
Dude, Sly.
He's a spy. Pete Turner's a spy.
Sly,
and
I love.
And he had Sly on his 100th episode.
Sly, I love, man.
He got Sly in a suit. Like, that's hard to get Sly, period.
Yeah, I know. I got to find him again. I tried to sign him when I was doing A&R.
I don't know who's more underrated than that outfit.
Dude, I'm saying, man, Sly. In fact, I did a record with John Legend. We won a Grammy for this Sly album that we all did. Questlove, The Roots, everybody did it. I had Van Hunt and John Legend and Joss Stone on the song, Family Affair.
When was that?
Some years ago. I don't know,
how many Grammys do you have?
And then, we all performed it on the Grammys. Remember Sly showed up on the Grammys that year? That was all of us playing.
How long ago was
Adam Levine? It must have been 7 years ago.
Adam Levine's fucking the truth, man.
Seven? No, he's dope. I mean, damn. He started in Cars, Flowers. I mean, he's a real dude.
Do you do any impressions? You probably do a couple of music. Yeah, bullshit. No. You're in the studio when the guy leaves the room.
No.
I'm Sly.
No.
I'm out of there.
Sly's a hard one to do, man.
Keith Richards, was that the same time as the Chuck Berry Hell Rock and Roll right around Jumpin' Jack Flash? It feels that way to me.
Yeah.
Keith's like people understand, like, his book is so great because you could tell no editor. You've written books. No, the editor comes in and goes, this can go here, this can go there, and you could tell nobody touched it.
Nobody touched
it. That's him.
What it is what he says is what it is. He didn't know how to have people touch it.
Edie Brickell. What it is what he said.
That was a good song. What it is.
When you work with Keith, is it his band no matter what? And that's why the beef with Chuck Berry happened?
It's kind of Keith's
Chuck's band.
It's
no kind of
Keith's band, but Keith's like a band guy. I mean, like, he's like
pirate ship.
He's really chill, man. He's a dude, another icon. I mean, dude.
People don't know he's a very good bassist.
Very good bassist. I tell you who was a really good bassist was Ronnie Wood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Faces.
Yeah.
You know, all that Stay With Me? That's Ronnie Wood playing bass.
Yeah.
Dope bass line.
I think Keith played bass on Dirty Mac on Rock and Roll Circus.
Yeah. Keith is an incredible dude.
Bootsy Collins, this keeps coming up because you play bass on my podcast. The sentence, the singular sentence, and everybody out there, I put my name on it, is our friend. My body, man. I got you, man. For real, see you.
Right.
I got you for
right.
life. You know that, right?
Right.
I'm looking at you.
Right.
Randy Jackson Sessions. Hit that subscribe. Even if you don't even fucking listen to it, go get the Podcast One app that's free and just go favorite.
Check it off.
I mean, he's done a lot of favors for you, Henry, don't he? Bootsy Collins, we were talking about the JBs, and this was in my garage in the Palisades when I had a home.
Right.
I don't have a home. I don't have a job. I ain't got no money.
And I ain't got no house.
What's up, Richard Pryor? And I damn sure ain't got no driver's license. Talking about Leon Spinks. I ain't got nothing to lose. Fuck it. And I damn sure ain't got
talking
no driver's
license.
Talking
about nothing to lose. There you go.
Leon, huh?
Huh? What?
Robin Harris took a shot at him. 15 years old in fifth grade. I know because I was 17, sat right behind him. Leon, huh? Wow. Yeah, we can talk about Richard Pryor and Robin Harris, period. So Bootsy Collins hadn't been paid. Him and his brother Catfish hadn't been paid by James Brown yet. And they went to the business manager who was running the tour, and they knew him from Cincinnati, but he was wired into James somehow. And he goes, what you want to do is go to his hotel room like gentlemen and say,
right.
I said, Randy Jackson told us that you should pay us $250 a week each.
Right.
Just, it's okay. Trust
right.
me. They go to the hotel room. They're on the road. He goes, come on in. Door's unlocked. And he's on the floor eating everything on the fucking menu except, as Robin Harris would say, thank you, please come again. He's eating everything. It's fucking just eating. Like, he goes, y'all can't touch my food, but what do you need?
Right.
Anything you want, but don't fuck with my food, right? And they go, well, you know, Randy, whatever. Michael Pfeiffer said, they're terrified. It's fucking James Brown.
Right.
You should pay $250 a week. And he goes, he told you that? Tell him I'll pay you $350 a week each. I'll get on out. It's done. So they got a bump just out of nothing, the grace of God, right?
Right.
And Bootsy at my table in my garage goes, and back then, because we're talking like 65, 66.
Yeah.
He goes, back then, that was like $1 million. And then he put his head down, and when he came back up, he was fucking not Bootsy Collins. He was whatever that Christian name is. That was a little boy on a dirt road in front of me, and he goes, it was $1 million. It was $1 million.
Wow.
That's the signal.
Wow.
It was $1 million.
Hey, that's real though.
It was the realest. The truest. There's somebody. You go out there, it was $1 million. And that's what we're all trying to do. We lose that perception. We lose the distinction, the perception. Like, when I was 18, 17, I was in high school. I drove to Buffalo, 8.5 hours. The guy handed me a $50 bill. I went back for first period French. I masturbated twice on the Pennsylvania Turnpike to stay awake so I wouldn't die in my father's car because he whooped my ass for taking his car. The teacher, I realized, didn't have $50.
Wait a minute. Masturbation keeps you from dying?
When last time you fell asleep jerking off? It keeps you from falling asleep.
Jay Moore, everybody.
No, that's all me. But $50, that was $1 million.
Wow.
Because nobody in this classroom's got a $50 bill.
No, and hell, they go, especially 17.
That's a Princeton graduate teaching me French. She ain't got a $50 bill. Man, fuck school. I pull about a G a week. Fuck school. KRS-One. It's just the guy to lead a crew.
KRS-One, look at that. Look at that. Look at you, man.
Right up to your face and diss you.
You're talking about the legends, man. The real hip-hop.
You know, nobody even heard KRS-One and Buckshot Robot. And that's only, I think it only lives on YouTube. It's they people don't realize, like, KRS, if he rhymes about you, love him or hate him, you're done. It's out. You're out.
It's over. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
My man, I appreciate you being on here. I can't wait to go on Sessions with Randy Jackson.
Dude, love that, man. Love being here, man. Jay Moore in the house, y'all.
I'll be honest with you. I'm stretching because I don't want it to end.
No. It's all good.
Hot Date is a half-hour modern sketch comedy on Pop TV. Pop TV is what's coming up, man. It's bringing it. Featuring real-life married couple Emily Axford, Brian K. Murphy. This show is based on their popular digital series, Hot Date. That was a number one YouTube comedy channel, College Humor Originals. Like, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube, so to rise to the top.
Jay, maybe we should go on it. Hot Date.
Let's do it. With no bottoms, just tops. You recognize Emily and Murph, their characters, because let's be honest, we've dated who they're playing before. The girl who can't have one experience that goes undocumented on Instagram. You know, you got to take the selfies, or the guy who can't commit until he realizes he don't want to commit, and then he professes his love. So these are very look. Go watch this show.
Jay and I may appear.
Will Arnett is on it. Mina Savari, Kevin Pollak, Ben Schwartz, and me and you, date to be determined. It's Hot Date. And all you need to know is, this is what I love about, I don't do ads for anything I don't believe in.
The two of us should date Mina Savari on the show. Only on the show. The two of us. See which one she likes. Make it a game.
But we have to do a lot of research. A lot of research. With Mina.
You wear yellow, I'll wear like lime green.
I can't wear yellow, bro. It's done.
Or you wear the lime green, I'll wear the yellow.
I'll wear lime green. Good thing I'm a shortstop from the Dominican Republic. Oh, lime green suit, lime garter, lime green pocket square. We're writing episodes right now. Hot Date. If you want the trailer, you can go to, well, they have their own Twitter, Hot Date, Twitter and Facebook and stuff. Hot Date, it's on Pop TV. And Pop TV, holler at me and Randy. We're going to do a show. All right, Randy Jackson, bassist, producer, TV host, George Huff Discover.
Huh?
Hurt my heart when George Huff left American Idol. I'm talking season 3.
I know.
Oh, Ruben Studdard to you, or George Huff.
I know.
How about this? Ruben Studdard took second. None of us even noticed.
I know.
We just know big Ruben Studdard. That was Clay's year, right?
No, Ruben actually won in the end.
Oh, and Clay took second.
Clay took second.
His mama named Clay. I'm going to call him Clay, too. You know why that joke's so funny? What? That Arsenio says?
Hi.
His mom didn't name him Clay. Mom
Listen,
named him Cassius.
You guys don't know something, but there's 40 people in here right now. They keep running around me and Jay.
Russ never sleeps, man.
Yo, another one. Jay, you just got all these bombs, don't?
What's that?
I love that. Russ never sleeps.
Why is that a... Oh, Neil Young.
Yeah, come on.
They become part of my actual...
Come on, man.
Russ never sleeps. Listen, my friends, Randy Jackson. Look, I already told you already. Put your name on it. I just don't want it to end because I dig Randy. And all right,
look, let's do part two.
We will. And as we
and
say
I have
in New
you
Jersey,
come on Sessions.
Yeah, no doubt. As we say in New Jersey, if you have a problem, I have a problem. All right, man. I put my name on that. More stories. Something is.